I'm late for a very important date. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. I am running late. 9:05 already on June 24th. Yeah, that'd be great. June 14th. Wednesday, 2023. I think it's still 2023, isn't it? I think it is. Yeah. Confused. I'm a confused old man. Kids, get off my lawn. Yeah. Good morning, folks. It is Wednesday, and I am running late. I wish I'd been down here 2 hours ago, but that didn't happen. As it turns out, I could have been, but I didn't know it at the time, so it just didn't happen. Everything's technological things are working well here this morning. Technology seems to be functioning properly, which is always a big concern. But fear not, I am here so far. It's not live. I believe that next Wednesday, I'm going to start doing my shows live on Wednesday. It kind of depends on what happens with my schedule for July. I have, we're going through all the hashing through of all the schedule stuff this week. And I think next, by the end of this week, I should know what my schedule will be for July. And at that point, it looks like I will be able to tell you what's in my cup. I have chai with Cinnabon Creamer. I also have a backup of sweet tea. There you go. That's the cup stuff. It's a rut this week. The thing about this sweet tea, though, however, is that it was freshly brewed yesterday. Like last night, actually. Freshly brewed last night. Set in the chiller to chill all night. Has a few ice cubes in there, and it is in an insulated cup. It's the perfect blend. So I have a tendency to go to the sweet tea occasionally more. I've had to heat up my chai a couple times this morning because it's just some good sweet tea. It's hard to avoid that. So I tend to neglect my hot chai. However, I will be drinking the hot chai. I do notice that it does something to my voice, though. I used to drink a lot of hot tea in the morning, just regular Lipton, you know, black Lipton tea. And I'd put honey. Of course, I'd put sugar in there. You have to put sugar in there. And I put honey in there. And I would also put a little bit of coconut oil in the tea as well. Now that really helped my voice kind of be just very, very consistent. It gave my voice that little edge that it needed, just kind of lubed it up properly. But I haven't been doing my voiceover work as much lately. I need to get back into doing that because there's some, I need to do that today because there's some pretty serious auditions that I have got to get accomplished. And I'm going to be doing that later today after the show. Need to remember to do that. So I'm going to put this right here so I don't forget that. I'm going to put that right there. Put it right there. That's not going to help me remember. That's not going to help me remember anything. So I'm going to put it right there. I don't know what to do with it. I'll put it in. I don't know. Put something. Got to do something different. As I get older, I find I have to do things like this so I can remember things. To remind me of things. So I'm kind of loaded for bear today. I have a couple things that actually I should have saved these to a different playlist. I could have pulled them up on my computer. However, I can pull them up on my phone, which I just have to connect now to my mixer, which is not a big deal. I just have to go to my Bluetooth settings here. Show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to do this live audio. It's kind of difficult to show you, but I'm going to do this. I've got Rodecaster Pro. I'm going to go ahead and connect this device. See if this works. There we go. It is connected. Just like that. Just like that, it's connected. So I'm going to go ahead with this thing, and I'm going to play some videos because there's some interesting audio. Now there's what? Why is that? Why is that clear back there? Oh, that's, I see where we're at with that. Okay. Here's a video. This is I'm going to play this in 1.25 times speed because this is very telling. There's a couple of things that are going on here. There's one. There's a second one that I want to play as well, and it has to do with the CDC, head of the CDC. She's being interviewed. She gives a little speech, and then she is asked these questions, and she keeps saying, well, that's under litigation. I can't comment on it right now. They're wooing us into this idea that if something is under investigation or litigation or whatever it is, that they can't comment on it. That is bull. That's baloney. And especially in her case, because she's not directly involved in the litigation, she can speak to it all she wants to. She's not barred or banned from speaking to anything that's under litigation just because there's a trial going on. It doesn't stop them from talking about Donald Trump, does it? But all of a sudden, they can't talk about this litigation. Well, it's under litigation. I can't talk about it right now. Under investigation. I can't talk about it right now. You talk about everything else that's under investigation and litigation. James Comey came out while Hillary Clinton was under investigation, and he talked about it all day long. Came out and gave a press conference specifically about that issue. That's all the press conference was about. They act like I can't talk about it because it's under investigation. Says who? Where's that rule written down? What, are we going to get arrested for it? If I talk about that, I'll get in trouble. No, you won't. Talk about it all you want. It's like yelling fire in a crowded theater. You can do it all you want to. There may be ramifications if you say something wrong or untruthful or mislead something or affect the outcome of the investigation. You can make all the comments you want. You know, it's not against the law. It's not legal speech. You have the right to legal speech. You have the freedom of legal speech. Boy, that if I'd have heard that, my ears would have perked up real fast. If I'd have been sitting there in Congress, I would have said, we're going to stop this proceeding right now. I don't care if I'm out of order. You are going to define what legal speech is. What is legal speech, sir? Is there some restriction to the right to speak? Now, see, this is where it goes. Well, the Second Amendment isn't just absolute. You know, there's restrictions. You can't just own a semi, you know, you just can't own a machine gun. Can't own a cannon. Oh, yeah. People did own cannons, and people used to own machine guns without any restrictions whatsoever. Fully automatic guns were allowed to be, that didn't just happen. Well, we've invented this new gun, but we're going to put a restriction on it right away. No, that was out there. Individuals could own them. So yeah, criminals owned them. But so did individuals. So then all of a sudden, now you have to have a sticker and you have to have a special permit. Then you have to pay this tax. All of a sudden, that makes it legal. Throw money at it, and all of a sudden, now you're legal. I don't care if you're criminal or not. Now you can own it because you paid the tax. You got a permit. You got a piece of paper. All of a sudden, you can own one. But, you know, because that keeps the criminals out. The ne'er-do-wells. How often do they do well? Ne'er. So we have interesting stuff going on. I'm going to make some comments here on this stuff, because we're going to talk a little bit about some of our rights. I know there were some other things I wanted to cover on today's show. Near the end of today's show, I've got to bring this up as well. Today's philosophical moment is going to be more discussion. And I'm kind of torn between what direction I want to go with today's talk. I think I'm going to speak. I spoke a little bit yesterday on the sovereign rights of sovereignty of individuals, and also talked a little bit about the self-discipline issue, discipline and self-discipline, and those two different things. I think I'm going to go down that route again a little bit. However, I might change it up a little bit. So there's going to be a little bit more about the discipline of life. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about more of the spiritual side of things. It's I'll have to see how the show shapes up before the end of it. So we'll just see how that goes. Once again, today's show, not live. However, next week, Wednesday, will probably be live. I don't know if it's going to be a show tomorrow or Friday. Very likely a show Friday morning. It'll be a recorded show if there is one. Well, probably. Maybe I can have a live show on Friday. It all kind of depends on how tomorrow shapes up. I really won't know too much about tomorrow's schedule until later in the day, probably around 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time today. I'll find out a little bit more about what's happening. Because when we close the day Central Time tomorrow at 5 o'clock, that's when everything kind of falls together. It's for sure. For the most part. And I'm kind of hoping that they either have plans for me later in the day tomorrow, or that they have nothing for me at all. That'd be even better. However, it's hard to tell. So let's dive right into this. I just want to talk a little bit about this whole thing. This is an exchange between Ted Cruz and who is this guy? An FBI official over the Biden bribery issue. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, and I wanted to play this thing with Stephanopoulos, but I couldn't find it right away, so I'm just going to play this because it's just about as good. We only have so much time, you know. So George Stephanopoulos is hosting this thing, and there's a senator. I think it might have been Comer, or it might have actually been Grassley. I'm not sure. Was being interviewed, and he was going on about this whole thing, and he started talking about how the investigation. There is an investigation underway. It's been underway for a long time with the whole Hunter Biden laptop thing, the money that has been going on for. There's a congressional investigation going on as well. This whole thing with Joe Biden and the money, the funds that were being transferred to Hunter Biden. Is it Jim Biden? I think it's whoever Joe Biden's brother is. And then there's also other family members. I think there's up to seven family members who are a part of this whole thing, all holding LLCs for advisory companies. Some kind of advisory companies, because they don't produce anything. They don't have anything. They don't offer any services other than just advice, which, by the way, speaking of advice, I am not one to give you legal advice because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer, epidemiologist, virologist, chronologist, ophthalmologist. Well, the list goes on. I'm not a financial advisor, not any of those things. So just keep in mind, my opinions are my own opinions, and I'm just sharing them because you need to know what my opinions are. That's why. It's just everybody needs to know what my opinions are. Because there's my opinions, and then there's everybody else's opinions. And only one of us are right. I'm just going to leave it at that. Because, you know, I'm the all-knowing. I'm not with a K-N-O-W. I'm all knowing. N-O. No, no. I just sit around and go, no. I guess you could spell it N-O-E. I'm not sure what that means. But they have a, yeah. So we have all this stuff going on. I'm going to play this because it's really, like I said, it's interesting stuff. Let me know if you can't hear this. Just let me know. Just raise your hand if you can't hear this very well. But it's pretty interesting.
Statutory changes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Ossoff. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Here we go.
Gentlemen, every day when I'm home in Texas, I hear from Texans who are deeply dismayed about the growing politicization and weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. If you are not, every one of you should be deeply concerned about the damage being done to the integrity of the institutions in which you operate. My office hears regularly from FBI agents and from assistant U.S. attorneys who are likewise concerned about the politicization and weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI, and this is profoundly damaging to the rule of law in our nation. Last month, a whistleblower brought to light the existence in the FBI of a report, an FD 1023, in which the informant alleges that President Biden and his family members engaged in a $5 million bribery scheme during his time as vice president. Deputy Director Abadi, is it true that the FBI has a report making those allegations?
I'm not going to comment on that, Senator.
And why is that?
I'm just not going to comment on information we received, investigations.
You owe an obligation to the American people to be candid about evidence of corruption by the president.
Oh, sorry, I have my mute on. So he's not even using the whole, oh, well, it's under litigation, it's under investigation, it's an internal matter, it's a personnel matter. He's not even using any, I'm just not going to comment on it. Period. He's not going to comment on it. This is infuriating to me. He can't even give a reason for it other than, well, you know, he's been told not to talk about it. So that's why he's not talking about it. And note how many times he uses this as he goes through this.
States.
This is an area that I'm not going to get into with you, Senator.
Well, I understand you don't want to, and that's why people are mad at the FBI, because you're stonewalling and covering up serious allegations of evidence of corruption from the president. Yesterday, Senator Chuck Grassley stood on the Senate floor and alleged that there are 17 recordings of this informant from Burisma, Ukrainian natural gas company. 15 of them are recordings, voice recordings of him talking to Hunter Biden. 2 of them are voice recordings of him talking to Joe Biden. Deputy Director Abate, does the FBI have 17 voice recordings laying out evidence of a bribery scheme?
Senator, I would add also that we've worked with the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, this is the Senate. We're the other side of the Capitol. This is the Senate. Do you have those 17 recordings?
I'm not going to comment on any investigative matter, Senator.
See, that's the problem. The FBI, and I've had this conversation with Chris Wray, too. This is why you are damaging the institution. The American people have a right to know whether there is serious, credible evidence that the president of the United States took a $5 million bribe. And by the way, if it's false, Chairman Durbin just rolled his eyes. If Chairman Durbin were interested in the rule of law, we would have a hearing on these allegations. But of course, the Democrats don't want a hearing on these allegations. And to be clear, if the allegations are false, you know who could disprove them? Joe Biden. He could call for this to be released publicly. But the FBI is stonewalling. Would you agree?
Two things, Senator. No, sure. One's stonewalling. The 1023.
You just said you refused to answer the question.
Was provided in response to a subpoena.
Okay, then why did you refuse to answer my question?
The pertinent information is there, and I reject your assertion that the
FBI
is politicized.
Why did you refuse to answer my question?
I just answered your question.
Okay, so yes, you have a 1023. Do you have the 17 recordings? Yes or no?
I'm not going to get further into that.
So you're stonewalling. You can't say I'm not refusing to answer.
Now, let me ask you this question. Stonewalling. That's exactly what they're doing. They're stonewalling. I would say, I would go further than that. I would use a different term. I would say they're obstructing. Wouldn't this be considered obstruction? And by their definition, obstruction of justice? This is closer, actually, closer to the line of obstruction of justice than what the president did in not returning classified or arguing or which classified documents he could maintain or retain in his Mar-a-Lago facility. That was not obstruction of justice. This is an investigation going on by the Senate, the People's House. Our representatives want to do an investigation into this, and he's obstructing it. Wouldn't this be considered obstruction of justice? Because they're trying to get justice from a crime, a potential crime that was committed here, and he's obstructing it. Donald Trump, with his documents, the documents were not committing a crime. Obstructing them from being taken was not obstruction of justice. And you notice they never used the term obstruction of justice. They just said obstruction. because it has the tone, it has the air of obstruction of justice. It turned into, and by the way, he wasn't, none of these allegations, none of these convictions, none of these indictments were for obstruction. They were for espionage and something else. Espionage and something else. Yeah, isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Let's continue on.
But I won't answer your question.
I'm going to answer within the parameters that we operate in.
That's the problem. The FBI has right now an unlimited hubris that you believe you are unaccountable. You don't believe you're accountable to the United States Congress, and you don't believe you're accountable to the American people. And you are doing damage. The FBI is a great institution. When I go home to Texas, people ask me, should we abolish the FBI? Now, I tell them no, because you have heroes and patriots working for you that are catching child predators, that are catching terrorists. But you're sitting there happily erecting a wall to protect Joe Biden. Will you provide to this committee, not the House, the Senate Judiciary Committee, will you provide the FD 1023 and will you provide the 17 recordings so we can assess what is the evidence, the specific credible evidence that Joe Biden personally took a $5 million bribe from a foreign national?
Okay, Senator, we will work with this committee, you and other members, to provide the information within the parameters of the process.
Will you provide the FD 1023, yes or no?
I will take that back and we will work with our
team. So you're not answering that. Will you provide the 17 recordings?
We will take that back and we'll work with you.
So you're not answering that either. Did you investigate in any way, shape, or form these allegations?
Senator, once again, I'm not going to comment.
So you're not going to say whether you did your job?
We do our job to the very best of our ability.
Well, not here. You're not answering a single question to the American people. And you may think this is esoteric. I promise you, millions of Americans are concerned. You know who isn't concerned? Not a single Senate Democrat. We're going to go through
not
this
a single
hearing.
One.
Not one Democrat
not one.
Will ask a question about this. You know who else isn't concerned? The corporate media, who is joining with the Democrats in
they
covering
would just
up this.
Talk
evidence.
About a cover
if
up.
Joe Biden is innocent. The evidence should be made public and demonstrate that he's innocent. But if he is not,
where's Nancy
is it
Pelosi?
True this informant
she,
we, who alleged
let's
that he
arrest him and then
well,
he can prove his innocence.
Informant the FBI had relied upon previously in other investigations. Yes or no?
Senator, in each and every investigation that we have, all the work that we do,
I asked
the
you
expectation
yes or no question.
Is that every logical avenue investigation be pursued.
I asked you a yes or
fullest.
No question. Are you going to answer it?
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
Was the informant one you had relied on?
I'm answering your question.
He's
not giving
me
an answer. Yes or no?
Senator, we run down every piece of information.
Blah, 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 blah.
Objectively.
So you're refusing to answer the question.
To the fullest extent possible.
You're refusing to answer the question.
Senator, your time has expired.
In all instances.
Senator, your time
is expired. It's disgraceful, Deputy Director Abate. Disgraceful.
Senator, your time has expired. Senator Till.
Here's the reason that they don't like to answer questions with a yes or no. Because it's very quick and they can move on to the next question. The longer he filibusters with a long answer, the fewer questions they're going to be able to get in. This is why some of them say, I'm reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time. In the Congress, that's all Maxine Waters does. As soon as the person starts to try to give an answer, reclaiming my time, a lot of times they'll ask a question and they don't even want the answer. The person starts to give an answer. They just start yelling, reclaiming my time, because they want to make a speech. They don't want to have any real answers from the person that they're asking questions of. They just want to make statements. Pointed narrative-based statements. That's all they want to do. They don't ask questions. Unless they're leading questions. When you killed the man, were you wearing a red dress or a blue dress? It's one of those things where, well, I wasn't wearing a dress. Oh, whoa, so you did kill the man, you just weren't wearing a dress. So that's how it implies. That's how it works. Now, do you beat your wife with a stick or with a belt? Well, I don't use a belt or a stick. Oh, what do you beat her with it? I don't beat her. Well, you just implied that you did. You just don't use a belt or a stick. So it's one of those things where, you know, they lay these questions out in a very careful manner. Or they make their statements very carefully. Now, I want to go to this next one. I'm probably going to zip through the first part of this because she just makes a speech. This is a CDC director. I can't think of her name right now.
That topic is one that is under litigation in the court, so I will not be speaking to that.
Walensky.
That is, again, something that I'm not going to speak to because it is currently under court.
So you're not going to answer the question?
It is currently under court litigation. Again, under court
litigation. So you refuse to answer the question?
No, what I'm saying is it is under court litigation. Oh. We're speaking to the same thing. These are all situations that are under court litigation. In closing,
so here we go. This is, she's closing her little, I'm not even going to let you listen to this because she's just blah, blah, blah here. So I'm going to basically just talk over her. This is what they do on MSNBC and CNN when Trump makes a speech. Well, he's just giving you propaganda. We don't feel it's proper for us to allow this kind of thing on our show because, you know, we're held to a higher standard. He's just on there propagating lies. So we're going to talk over him right now. That's what I'm doing right now with her. She's just propagating lies. So then she's looking forward to your questions when she gets done with this little speech. She comes out and makes this little speech. It's all blah, 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 flowery, goobly-gloppy stuff. Meaning nothing. Doesn't mean anything. Just yakety-yakety-yakety-yak. Here she's talking away. Little mouth is flapping. She's just saying all kinds of things. Here we go.
I now recognize the chairman of the full committee, Mr. Comer from Kentucky, for 5 minutes of questions.
Listen to how this goes, because I want to make a point on this.
The CDC frequently communicated with big tech and social media companies to coordinate the censorship of posts that express skepticism or criticism of the COVID-19 vaccines. Dr. Walensky, is there a difference between medical opinions and misinformation?
There are things that are scientifically proven over and over again in the literature, and those eventually become fact. But I think that there are ways to interpret that.
Exactly. Reasonable people disagree on a medical path forward, correct? I mean, that.
Yeah, but I would also say that when there is increasing science, that leads to fact that more and more people then generally agree.
I mean, patients often are advised to get a second opinion on medical advice. CDC records, however, show that CDC officials sometimes flag social media posts which they deem to be misinformation. My question is, did the CDC work with private companies to influence a censorship of dissent about vaccines?
That topic is one that is under litigation in the court, so I will not be speaking to that.
Okay, let's listen carefully. So he's asking the question of, I'm going to play it back again. In fact, I'm going to go back to regular speed on this because I think it's important that we understand what the question is, and her answer to it, I think, is kind of important.
Yeah, but I would also say that when there is increasing science, that leads to fact that more and more people then generally agree.
I mean, patients often are advised to get a second opinion on medical advice. CDC records, however, show that CDC officials sometimes flag social media posts which they deem to be misinformation.
CDC officials sometimes flag posts that are deemed to be misinformation. I don't know where they're flagging them. Posts on what? He doesn't get into specifics here. But I believe that this has to do with social media, such as Facebook and Twitter and everything else. So let's see where he's going from this.
My question is, did the CDC work with private companies to influence a censorship of dissent about...
So this is, he's talking about now, did the CDC work with Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all these other organizations, Google, to censor information? This is where he's going with this.
Vaccines?
That topic is one that is under litigation in the courts, so I will not be speaking to that.
It's under litigation in the courts, so she will not be speaking to it. Now, let's think through this for just a minute. It's under litigation in the courts, so she can't speak to it. Is she directly involved with this litigation? No, she's not. Does she have any influence on the litigation, or will her opinions or her answer have any influence or change the outcome of the litigation? No, it will not. Is she allowed to speak about it? Yes, she is. Is she barred from speaking about it? No, she's not. She's free to speak freely and give her opinions. He's not asking for an official answer from the department. He's asking for her opinion on this. Did they or did they not answer the people? And this is what gets me here. This is the representative of the people asking this question. It's not just some partisan, or maybe he is partisan. It doesn't matter. It's the people's representative who's asking this question. There's no accountability to the people here. They don't care about the people. The representatives, I'd say 80% of the time, forget that they're supposed to be representing us. They're trying to just get, all they're trying to do is just get reelected so they can have power and money and influence. It's the influence behind the scenes is where all the money's made. Just ask Joe Biden about that. His salary wasn't enough to support 4 million, you know, multi-million dollar homes and make everybody around him rich. There wasn't enough money from Congress and his investments and his 401k to do all that stuff. Not nearly enough to do all that. When he's in charge of $1 billion, well, if you know, this morning, Mr. Reagan, his channel, Sean, he put out this little thing. I should play it probably. I might play it later on. We'll see how it goes. What our time? We're already halfway through the show. So we did. He plays this thing about how it would have gone down if it would have been Donald Trump talking on the phone to the folks from Burisma and getting the $5 million bribes, how that would have all gone down. And it, so he kind of has this Trump impersonator on the phone acting like, okay, this is how it would have gone down with if Trump would have done it. Of course, this would be splattered all over the place because they're hiding, they're protecting, they're obstructing justice. That's what they're doing. The whole Democrat Party, everybody on the left right now, I would imagine there's got to be some moderate Democrats out there who are just squirming in their seat, who hate to see what's going on right now with the Democrat Party. Because they know, if they have half a brain cell, they've got to know what's going on with Joe Biden. And this, it's a conspiracy theory, it's all malarkey. No, it's not malarkey. And they know it's not malarkey, and they're all concerned that their 2024 election bid is going to be wrapped up with Joe. They know that this guy's dead weight. They got to get rid of him. They cannot allow him to become the candidate. And they've only got a few months to get this squared away and straightened out. There's been some interesting things with Joe Biden's health recently, and I'm concerned. I do have some concerns that what's going on with him, and I've been amiss at my forecasting, giving a timeline of what's going on with Joe, because apparently there are some pretty amazing drugs out there right now. Joe Biden is not deteriorating at the rate that I thought he was. Just from people that I've known. So apparently some kind of treatments are working, keeping him kind of going. However, I'm seeing some issues of burnout on some peripheral issues. And his speech is becoming more and more slurred. He's having a harder time reading teleprompters. He's making weirder and weirder comments here and there. I think the stress of this investigation and the closeness that they're in, I think, is going to be even a bigger deal. However, the power of the people around him, I think, cannot be underestimated. There's a huge amount of establishment on both sides of the aisle, mind you, that are protecting him right now. But I digress. Let's go back to this questionnaire thing. She continues to say this. She uses this. It's under litigation. I can't talk about it right now. So let's see how many questions she answered. Remember, she got the first question that he asked was just a general question of establishing some. He was kind of establishing a criteria, and then he starts going into the actual questions about the CDC and how it acted, whether or not it interacted with individual with private companies, which would be when he first took private companies. He's talking about Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. For some reason, I had to get a sip there. Boy, wow, that was kind of interesting. So it wasn't coming out of my cup. Let's continue on here.
Recently, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said that during the COVID-19 pandemic, the establishment kind of waffled a bunch of facts and then asked for a bunch of things to be censored that in retrospect ended up being more debatable or true. Did the CDC work with Meta, or I like to call it Facebook still, to censor or otherwise alter any post?
Here's what I can tell you. The most important thing that has gotten us out of this pandemic, I think, is our vaccine and how well they work and how safe they are.
I understand that.
And it was really important that the American people understand how well they worked and how safe they are.
I understand it.
She went right into the vaccine.
But in terms of the communication.
She went right into the vaccine. Didn't answer the question about, what he asked had nothing to do with the vaccine. Other than just misinformation about the vaccine. Now, she's saying how well they worked. Now, she says something in here that's undeniably and provably wrong, incorrect, misleading, and disinformation 100%. Very shortly, she's going to make a comment. She's going to make a statement about the efficacy, effectiveness of the vaccines. She says 96% initially. It was never shown in public use. The 96% was in the initial claims by the, I think it was Moderna, might have been Pfizer. They both claimed, one of them came out and said it's 94% effective, and the other one came out, oh, it's 96% effective. And Johnson & Johnson came out, well, ours is only 82% effective. Or whatever it was. I don't know what the actual percentages were. Don't quote me on any of those numbers. But they all had these outlandish numbers that were way up there. The flu vaccine is not even 80% effective because the flu strain changes a little bit every year. They have to guess basically every year on the flu vaccine. Of course, it's flu season again. Are you hearing about anybody dying from flu? Probably not. COVID has kind of replaced the flu. And people are still dying from COVID, by the way. However, what's more concerning, and Dr. John Campbell just came out with another report, international report, that he's even more concerned about, the fact that nobody's talking about it, is the excess deaths. Excess deaths. The normal rate of this deaths in the world, the normal death rate in the world is up by 16%. This is causes other than this is sure people are dying of COVID, but people used to die from the flu. The flu used to affect young and old both. COVID affects mostly the old. Very few young people have died from COVID and are dying from COVID. It's still mostly people who are compromised basically are still dying from COVID, which is the same it used to be with the flu. It's just it's a different kind of virus. It's more of a respiratory virus, whereas the flu was not. But this is where we're at with this. Now, as she goes on here, she continues to try to skate around the issue. Now, listen to what she says about the efficacy of this thing. She's totally wrong.
That is, again, something that I'm not going to speak to because it is currently
under court litigation.
It is currently under court litigation.
I hear that so much on everything we do. It's currently under investigation. Did the president take a bribe, Dr.
She didn't say investigation. She said litigation.
Did the CDC ever work with Facebook to craft internal policies on censoring posts regarding
it's under litigation.
The COVID pandemic?
Again, this is something that is under court litigation. What I will say, though, it is so very important to get correct factual information out to people to understand the overwhelming benefit of these vaccines over the very
minimal risks. What about Twitter? Can you answer that?
I under court
litigation. So you refuse to answer the question?
No, what I'm saying is it is under court litigation, and I will say that the most important thing that we were working towards at CDC is to get facts out to people so they understood in plain language
I'm going to reclaim my time. Facebook's policy on coronavirus misinformation dated February 8, 2021 said that it would purge, quote, false claims, including the notion that COVID-19 is man-made or manufactured. Director, did the CDC ever recommend that Facebook or other companies censor posts promoting the lab leak theory?
We're speaking to the same thing. These are all situations that are under court litigation. I will not be speaking
The CDC ever recommend that Facebook or other companies censor posts suggesting that vaccines did not prevent the infection or spread of COVID-19?
Important to CDC was to get information about how well the vaccines were working and how safe they are. And, many of the questions, all of the questions that you're asking are along the same lines. They're currently under litigation in the courts.
In In one email, a CDC official tells a Twitter employee that, quote, CDC is working on a project with Census to leverage their infrastructure to identify and monitor social media for vaccine misinformation, unquote, and that they would, quote, like the opportunity to work with Twitter's trust team on a regular basis to discuss what they are seeing, end quote. So, Director, did the CDC work on a regular basis with Twitter or other companies to monitor or censor vaccine misinformation?
Congressman, my answer is the same. It's the same line of questioning. We wanted to get important information out to the people so that they would favor vaccines because they were working. They were preventing severe disease and death.
I understand. But it turns out that some of the perspectives that the government censored, like the lab leak theory and some questions about the vaccine, we're correct all along, but the government censored that. A lab leak is possible. I would go even further to say the lab leak is probable. Even some in the government have admitted that. The vaccine did not stop spread or infection. I'm not saying it was...
This is where it gets interesting. The vaccine did not stop spread or infection. Period. It did not. Absolutely, and proven so, unequivocally, not even hardly arguable. Listen to her response from this.
Completely bad, but it did not stop the spread or infection.
I think, actually, if I could actually just correct that point, and that is initially it did. For the Wuhan strain and for the Alpha strain, all of the early data in the literature published in the New England Journal demonstrated
which was
that
never peer-reviewed,
if you didn't get infected,
and
that you
certified.
Were not transmitting it to other people, and it had very high efficacy early on, up to 96%. So
96%. So if it worked so well with the Wuhan strain, she called it the Wuhan strain, and the Alpha strain, up to 96%, COVID would have been stopped dead in its tracks. It was not 96% effective. This is bullcrap. Anthony Fauci himself, I have played the audio many, many times on this show, came out and said, the
nasal pharynx basically has the same, they're identical to someone who's been unvaccinated and has the ability to spread basically the same as someone who's been vaccinated or unvaccinated, doesn't matter.
That's my paraphrase. It was a bad impression of him. It actually sounds better than he does. But that's where it's at. He came out and said this. A vaccinated person opposed to an unvaccinated person had the same viral load in their nasal pharynx and have the ability to spread the virus. And of course, there's these breakthrough cases, these occasional breakthrough cases where someone has the vaccine, but they still get the virus. They still contract the virus. Now, granted, it seems that people who got the vaccine initially, especially with Delta virus, the Delta variant, that they had a reduced reaction to it, or they had some kind of... However, that's not what a vaccine's supposed to do to you, for you. Vaccine's supposed to vaccinate you against it. It's supposed to immunize you from it. That's what people think of when they think of vaccines. It's more of a therapeutic or a prophylactic than it is a vaccine. But I digress. Let's continue on here.
It did change over time.
It did change over time.
I hate to interrupt, but my time's expired. But that's something that this committee is going to continue to investigate. But with respect to censorship, censoring dissenting opinions is unacceptable, and that's something else that this select committee needs to investigate. We don't need to see that ever happen again, and I look forward to trying to present the truth to the American people about what role the government played in censoring dissenting medical opinions, which may well prove to be true. Madam Chair.
So there you go. They did absolutely communicate. They were in communication with social media. We know they were. They've admitted it many times. They've said it publicly. Psaki said something about it. But circle back, Psaki. She said something about, you know, they're in touch with the, you know, they're talking to social media about this stuff. So that according to them, according to their own words, they were in communication, but they can't talk about it because it's under litigation, court litigation. No, you can talk about it all you want to. There's no rule about. Now, maybe the FBI, the organization who's actually doing an investigation, cannot comment on an investigation they're doing. The CDC absolutely can comment on things that are being litigated. She's not going to court about it. It's not her. It's just one more ridiculous thing after another with these people. They simply don't want to answer questions. This is where the problem is. So here we are. Here we are. We have these issues where they continue to refuse to answer questions. Now, while all this is going on, we have a president currently sitting in the White House. The evidence and the obvious actions continues to pile up. The more the congressional committee looks into things, the more they find on Joe Biden. It continues to get worse and worse. Now, the real question is, okay, what's going to happen with this stuff? At some point, it's going to come to a head. Personally, here's my opinion on what's going to happen. As we go through this whole process, it's my opinion. That's all it is, just an opinion. That they will get to a point where the Democrats will begin to turn on Joe Biden. And they're not going to do it in a malicious way. They're going to do it in a very, benevolent way. Well, poor Joe. Joe's struggling with some things, and we think it's time for him to step down, and we're going to request that he's served the country so well. Karine Jean-Pierre came out yesterday in her press conference. This is a president who, she kind of keeps nodding her head. It's this whole believe me thing, portrayal and believe me, body language. He believes in the rule of law. He follows the rule of law. Of course, James Comey came out with, he's a rule of law. You're going to hear this rule of law. Well, you know, as soon as Joe Biden found out that there was classified documents in his garage, right away when he found out about them, he returned them right away. This is the guy who said, I can't believe somebody would be so careless with classified documents. He wasn't careless with them. I'll tell you about, you want to talk about careless, reckless. Documents that you stole when you were a senator out of a skiff end up in your garage with an open door to the public while you're out driving around in your Corvette. That seems a little bit more reckless and careless. Mr. Bill Barr, who likes to come out and talk about Trump being reckless. What a political hack that guy is. It just amazes me that these people get away with this continuously. If we had any kind of a serious investigative journalism in this country, I think this is why Tucker Carlson is so popular. I think he just came out with another Twitter show He's not backing down from Fox News. Is not trying to go after him, trying to sue him, trying to do all kinds of things. If I, you know, if I do a non-compete with a, say I have a business, say I have a cleaning business, an office cleaning business, and I sign a non-compete, I'm not going to compete with you for business anymore. I'm going to start another business, cleaning offices. But if I have a customer that comes, if I have somebody that comes to me and says, "Hey, can you clean my office? I'll give you $100." Absolutely, I can go do that. I can absolutely go do that. It doesn't stop me from keeping my own office clean or cleaning someone else's office. But I can't compete with the other person. In other words, I can't go out there and start a business doing that. There's a difference between me just as an individual going out and cleaning someone's office and them paying me. I can clean somebody's car, I can clean somebody's office, I can clean somebody's house. As an individual, me doing the work. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I know for a fact, actually, I can go out and clean somebody's office for free. That's what I really meant to say. If I go out and clean somebody says, "Hey, can you come clean my office?" "Yeah, I can come over and clean your office." There you go. Clean your office for you. There you go. If I don't take any money for it, they're not paying me. I can clean anybody's office I want to. That's the way it works. Because I'm not in competition with them. I'm not doing business with someone. Now, if that person pays for my expenses to get there and back, they come pick me up, take me over there. I clean their office. They provide all the materials. That's I'm not competing. That's what he's doing on Twitter. He doesn't have advertisers. He's just simply posting his personal thoughts on Twitter. Yeah, it's a show. There's no sponsorship. He doesn't have a contract deal with Twitter. It's very clear. But what do you think? Fox comes out, says he's competing just because he got millions. And I guarantee if he would only have gotten 1,000 views, they wouldn't care. They'd laugh at him and they'd be making fun of him. But no, he got impressions, over 100 million impressions, by the way. That's not clicks. That's not listens to. But you know, out of that, even if he got 10% of those, that's 10 million. It's ridiculous. And I would bet he got more than 10% of them. So we have this interesting thing here going on. And here we are. I don't have much time for the philosophical part of my show. Somebody's got to clean this mess up. And here's my opinion on this. We either choose to go into a time of difficulty to get this straightened out, or we wait for the difficulty to come and then we have to figure out how to clean up the mess as it goes. It's one of those things where in life, sometimes you have to make a choice of, well, do we fix it before it catastrophically breaks and maybe breaks other things and takes other things out, destroys other things or damages other things or causes other problems? Or do we intentionally go in, shut it down now, create a hardship that won't last as long and that one that we're prepared to fix, that we have a plan to put in place to fix it before it gets catastrophically broken? If my brakes aren't working properly on my car, if they're showing signs of wear and signs that things that need to be worked on, but I need that car every day to get back and forth to work. I depend on my car all the time. So I'll just have to wait till my brakes catastrophically fail someplace at an intersection and hopefully get the thing stopped without doing anybody else any damage. And then I'll fix the brakes. No, it's probably not a good idea. probably a good idea just to park the car, get it fixed, do what you have to. Maybe you have to Uber to work and back for a couple days until you get those brakes done. Well, you can't afford that. Well, you can't afford to go blasting through an intersection without any brakes either. How's that going to work out for you? And you're still going to have to fix your brakes at the end of the day. Maybe you won't because the car will be totaled. And you can't sell the car with brakes that are bad. So I'll just sell the car and buy a new car. Yeah. I think I'm just going to leave it at that. Folks, it has been a good week of shows. Yesterday went okay. Monday was the day that I had so much problems with the technology. I would like to apologize for that, and just the craziness of this week, how it's been. And I do apologize that my schedule has been a little bit wacky. And the next 2 days are going to be a little bit undetermined, a little bit less, what's the word? A little bit less dependable to be on board. So as we go through the rest of our week here, we need to very prayerfully consider how we are going to wade through the issues that we have before us in this nation. Leadership is going to be a key point, and I believe leadership in the church, as well as leadership in our political environment, in our political situations. So pray for our nation, folks. God bless. Have a great week.